Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
On today's show, we're going to have a guy that he's making a living out of creating DNA kits to test your dog's, poo. I guess these apartment complexes are using that just in case you're one of those people that don't pick up your poo after, not your poo, your dog's poo.
Clarify that. Another whole picture coming into mind there.
Yes. You could be in trouble in cities like Dallas. There's now a fine, a $250 fine, if you don't pick up your dog's poo. And he's making money off of this whole thing. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Also in studio in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to Lynn and Roy Roden. They, of course, are traveling across the country with their dog, Samantha and Oliver, to raise awareness for Parkinson's disease. They are in the Central California area, and they'll be in our studio in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. Also, if you've seen the pictures of underwater dogs, maybe you saw it on CNN or it's been on every television show, these dogs jumping in the water to grab a ball. And there's a photographer who we'll be talking to in a few minutes, Seth Castile, I believe. He takes pictures of the dogs from underwater and gets some amazing photos.
Dogs do that.
They jump in, they get balls in the water.
They go underwater, yeah. They dive to the bottom of the pool.
They take pictures of
things.
Dr. Debbie.
Yeah. In a wetsuit.
we'll have giveaways, by the way, of his book, Underwater Dogs, and his calendar all on the way right here. In fact, we have a lot of giveaways today. If you're one of those people that puts off your shopping till the very last moment, like I do, I wait till Christmas Eve. That's when I do my shopping. We'll have gifts for you to put underneath your Christmas tree or your Hanukkah bush. Taking your phone calls to talk to Dr. Debbie, dog trainer Alan Cable, dog father Joey Villani. And we have Sherry on the phone. Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Splendid. What's going on with your animal?
Well, I've got a almost 4-month-old little teacup chihuahua. And I know teacup is used, sort of, it's not really a word. I mean, it's not really a breed, but at any rate, she's a teacup. And she weighs almost 2 pounds, not quite. And the veterinarian here, who is her vet, is wanting me to have her spayed. And my concern is her weight. And I was just kind of curious about whether the little ones go into heat as often or, you know, just some ins and outs and what's the best course of action for me to take.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. We do want to get this girl spayed. And with any dog, any breed, the preference is to do that before they go into a heat cycle. That makes the breast cancer risk almost zero, and that's when we want to do that. We don't want to wait until they get older and they get after a heat cycle or a pregnancy. So for small breeds and toy breeds in general, yes, they can kind of have a little different timing of onset when they go into their first heat. Sometimes the smaller the toy breeds might be a little earlier. Yeah, so sometimes they might go in, you know, anywhere from 6 months to maybe 10 months of age, whereas the larger breed dogs, it's usually even up to a year. And even some giant breeds may not go into heat until they're a year and a half. So it can kind of vary. But I would be prepared. I would not delay it past that 6-month point. And kind of the next point of your question in there is, you know, her size. And I understand your concerns for her petite frame.
Right.
But it generally, for the veterinarian, size doesn't matter. I love that. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
You made yourself laugh, didn't you?
I did. But yes, I mean, we do surgery on, you know, less than 1 pound ferrets and guinea pigs. So size isn't what scares us. We want to have your pet mature, fully vaccinated, in good health. Now, sometimes for some of the little breeds, they can have other types of problems. We want to monitor and make sure we can address that if necessary. So a lot of times little chihuahuas don't drop their teeth when they should. So that's sometimes I'll kind of watch that and just see if it's going to be something we need to address. So I don't like to do the little breeds too early, meaning like 4 months. I would prefer to wait till about 6 months so we can watch those teeth and see if we need
that. That is what they suggested. You've answered a big question for me because my assumption was that the little ones probably would go longer before they would go into heat. So it's really, really knowledgeable for me to know that that's actually opposite. I would didn't know.
Yeah.
So I guess the 6 months. Now, she did have parvo, and she bravely got through that, which was just shocking because her blood sugar was down to 13, and she only weighed 12 ounces. But boy, she pulled through, and she's a champ. So I'm even more hesitant to you know, to put her under, but I guess...
But like I said, you know, veterinarians, I'm sure your vet is very capable with managing things like hypoglycemia, temperature concerns for these little guys. And there's a lot, you know, veterinary medicine has come a long way, even since my youthful career. So, so I think that there's a lot that, you know, maybe in past years and past decades, people have a lot more concerns in their minds about things that, you know, with previous pets. But nowadays, it's something that's so common. And like I said, you know, if they're doing surgery on small little kittens and doggies, they'll be very capable to do this on your pup.
Okay. Well, thank you for easing my mind.
All right. Well, very good. Give that little baby a pat on the head. And what's your baby's name?
Sophie.
Sophie. Well, wish her well for me and give her a good kiss.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your call, Sherry, to the Dream Team here at Animal Radio. Dr. Debbie answering your vet medical questions. Alan Kibble. Alan Cable. I don't know if we can really change that legally.
You know, Dr. Debbie makes me want to go to veterinary school and become a professional just so I can say naughty things on the radio.
She gets away with it, too. You notice that?
I can say all sorts of things like poop and shit. And sound really professional, right?
Let's see. You've actually made dog father Joey Villani blush there. The eggnog. By the way, this stuff is really fattening. I don't know if you know this, but this is like 400 calories a glass.
I don't want to know what's in it. All I know is you don't want any of your pets to eat it or to drink it.
And why is that? Is it especially harmful?
Well, it's just, it tastes really yummy, and it's very easy for them to consume it and to not realize the alcohol content. Just kind of like, you know, underage drinkers, you know, they don't realize it's quite yummy. So yeah, that can really be a danger for the cats and dogs.
There's alcohol in this? I didn't realize that. Maybe that's why I'm
thinking. That's what you think, Hal.
Let's go to line four. We have Kathy for Alan. Hi, Kathy. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Do you have all your Christmas shopping done?
Oh, no. Not even close.
I wait till the night before. I wait till Christmas Eve, and then I head out to the 7-Eleven and do it. What's going on with your dog?
Well, I was just wondering if I could get some tips on clicker training. We have a dog that we recently adopted about a month and a half ago, and we've had dogs my whole life, but I've never clicker trained, and this one I think could use it, so I was just wondering about your thoughts on that.
Well, let's talk about clicker training. It's kind of cool that you called and asked that question. Do you understand what positive reinforcement is, Kath?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what you do with clickers. You positively reinforce the dog with a clicker, and the clicker's not the actual reward. The clicker tells the dog that he's doing something that you like. And the first thing you do when you get a clicker is you load it, and that means you click the dog, give your dog a little treat. Click the dog, give your dog a little treat, so that the dog learns very quickly that whenever he or she hears the clicker, he's going to get a treat. That's what that tells him. The next thing you do is you look for your dog to do behaviors that you like. And every time you catch your dog doing something that you like, you click and give the dog a treat and say the word. So in other words, if your dog just sat down on his own, was being all mellow and calm, you would click and go, good dog, sit, good dog, give him a treat, just like that. So he would learn every time he sat that was a desired behavior and that he was going to get a treat. And that's how you use a clicker. You don't use it to stop the dog from doing stuff you don't like. You use it to get the dog to do stuff you do like. So in other words, if your dog is chewing something you don't like, you take that out of his mouth, you put something he does like in it, you know, you want him to chew in his mouth, click it and say, good boy, you know. So you teach the dog what he's supposed to do and not what he's not supposed to do. And you click, and timing is very important. So you have to click right when the dog's doing the behavior. So it's really cool to have a friend just lead your dog around the house on a leash and observe. And whenever the dog does something cool that you like lays down or sits, click, give him a treat, good boy, and you move on.
Are there certain breeds that it works better with, or is it pretty generic?
Well, we talk about chows. You know, that's the one breed that nothing works on. We were talking to a guy last week about chow dogs. They're very hard to train. They're like cats, and they're going to do what they want to do. But mostly every other dog, it will work. It's just you got to be patient because especially young dogs are manic and crazy and kooky, and they're into everything. So it's real important that you don't go hog wild with the clicker because it'll just confuse the dog. So you have to actually mellow and calm the dog out, and the best way to do that, again, is exercise. The best time to teach a dog good behavior is after exercise because the dog's exhausted and is mellow. And that's a great time to do a training exercise with your dog after your dog's tired.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's very helpful. We're definitely going to start that right away.
Yep. Just be patient and be consistent, and it'll all come together, and you'll see amazing results. Just be patient and realize it doesn't happen in one day. It takes the dog time. But once you load that clicker and teach your dog, wow, whenever I hear that click sound, I'm going to get a treat, it becomes easy.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your help. Happy holidays.
Thanks for listening, Kathy. We appreciate it. Dr. Debbie answering your vet medical questions. Dog trainer Alan Kibble. Can I call you Kibble now? Do you have a problem with that?
Kibble.
Kibble.
You know what, man? You call me whatever you want.
I like that.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
After a long day of chasing that frisbee, there's nothing better than wrapping your paws around a cold bottle of dog beer. That's what Terry Berendon, a pet shop owner in Holland, thought, so she created a beer for her Weinmaraners. Berendon consigned the local brewery to bottle her non-alcoholic dog beer and named it Quitzbel Beer. Quitzbel Beer is a Dutch word for wagging a tail. The beer is made from beef extract and malt, and although it's fit for human consumption, she's marketing the beer for dogs who need a break from taking naps and wagging their tails and eating and playing with dog toys. And I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
With MedGuard Alert, you're never alone. You can connect with medical professionals anywhere, anytime. And now MedGuard is introducing our exclusive new CareWatch. If you need help quickly, use it from anywhere to contact medical professionals. No cell phone required. The CareWatch is not only a life-saving medical alert device. It's a revolutionary health monitoring system that checks your blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen saturation, and much more. And here's the best part. If you have Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. The CareWatch is only available through MedGuard Alert. Call us right now. We have monitoring programs starting as low as $1 a day. The call is free, activation is free, shipping is free, and no contract is required. Remember, with Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. Call us to get your CareWatch right now.
800-705-1198. 800-705-1198. 800-705-1198. That's 800-705-1198.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere. From dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke, an asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you, all of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner, so he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood. School. Kids' teams. Where you worship. Work. Work out. Or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use. You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around, reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe, because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.